They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the streams. It shall not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. 2011, I was, as part of my seminary experience, I had the opportunity and privilege to go over to Israel for 5 weeks. Part of the study was to be on an archaeological excavation site called Tel Gezer. And we flew in and got over to Tel Aviv and then drove into where we were staying, a place called Neve Shalom, which means the place of peace. And our first trip, our first day there, the jet lag hadn't caught up to us, and we went into Jerusalem and looked around and then came back. And then we got up the next morning, our bodies trying to adjust to the time difference and everything. And we get out to the site, and they took us the back way to the site. They wanted to give us the back way, which was the long way, they wanted to give us some history behind what was going on. We were on Tel Gezer, and Tel Gezer was a site where it was between the sea and the way to Jerusalem. It was a very prominent place that had been conquered several times. It was kind of like a southern outpost of Jerusalem, so a place where they would look out to and inform Jerusalem if enemies were coming. I say all that to kind of set the stage. It was a very, very prominent place to have, and it had been conquered several times and destroyed and rebuilt and conquered, destroyed and rebuilt. And so we were there doing the excavation, probably about the fourth season of excavation we were in the midst of. And basically, as we walk up to the tell, which a tell over there is just like a hilltop, the first thing I noticed is the site was covered with black stuff. It was like a cloth. And I thought, boy, that's odd. It's a funny way to, they must have that to keep the dust out or something, I didn't know. And they were going over the history of it, and then they said, okay, it's time to get to work. We have to erect the shade tent. Oh, that's what that is, a shade tent. And so we get underneath this fabric, and they put up the poles, and it creates shade. And we got there early enough to where I thought, well, that's nice, but it's kind of overkill. We would get out on the tell at 5 a.m. every morning and work till noon, because in the time we went from June through July, you can't work past noon out there. It becomes so hot. And so I really become appreciative of those shade tents, especially around 11 o'clock in the morning. And so we would work during the week, and then on the weekends we would travel all over Israel, touring and doing, going from site to site and learning about it. And I learned very quickly that as soon as you got off the tour bus, that you would go and find shade. And there wasn't a whole lot of shade to be found. Sometimes we would be standing next to a column, an ancient column, just to have that shade, because if you could find shade, you would be at least 10 to 15 degrees cooler, ironically. And in preparing for tonight, I mean, I don't even know why I picked that passage. It just came to me. And so I got here earlier, and I didn't have my thumb drive with me that had my PowerPoint pictures for Taizé that I normally throw up. And so I said, well, let's see what they have on the computer. and they had like probably 30 different files of or pictures of different crosses. And so I'm scrolling through, and for some reason that one hit me tonight. And I'm like, oh, that looks good. I'll throw it up there. Well, what's that remind you of? Shade. The cross of Christ casting shade. And I think about that. I think about our scripture tonight about how in those times where we try to lean on our own understanding and try to do things with our own might, and how we can be out of the shade and into the force of the sun. We can wither and dry. We can become anxious and grow weary. And so this picture, as I was sitting back there, it hit me. Like, oh my gosh, that's what we would do when we would get off the bus. We would run and run for the shade to be comforted, to be cool, to get out of that scorching sun. And I think there's times in our lives where, well, there are times in my life, I won't put this on you, but there's times in my life where I'm a fool standing in the sun, trying to do stuff on my own and trying to do it with my own strength and understanding. And I get to a point where I become weary and I need to go back to the shade. And I think about that scripture about having that trust in the Lord and what it's like. It's like a tree planted next to a river that is always sustained by the river. It always has shade under it. It always is bearing fruit. And I thought about how many times I see that in people. And one of the things that has come to me lately, because we've had a wave of deaths in our congregation lately, is seeing those trees firmly planted. Just within the last week, there was a tree, if you will. He passed away. And I remember going to visit him at the hospital and seeing him. He had suffered a stroke and he wasn't doing well. He was not responding well. And when I walked in, his face was scrunched up, almost as if he was standing outside of the shade. He was fighting or wrestling or trying to fight. And I thought, you know, there isn't much that I can do. I don't want to carry on a conversation or create small talk or do anything like that. What can I do? Just offer scripture, I thought. And so I said, hey, how about if I read you some scripture? And I could see the lines on his forehead just relax a little bit, which I indicated as a yes. So I said, why don't I read you one of your favorites? I'm sure it's got to be a favorite, Psalm 23. And the lines relaxed a little bit more. And so I began, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down. He gives me rest. I probably should look it up. And I got to the point where I said, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And all of a sudden, one of the alarms in the hospital room started going off. And I was like, oh no, this is not going well. And two of the nurses rushed in, and I stood up and I says, let me get out of your way, because I assumed that it was not good what was happening. And she goes, oh no, let me, don't you stop. I just want to silence this alarm. Apparently they could tell something from the vital signs that I couldn't. And I said, are you sure? And she goes, yes, please continue. So I sat down and I called the gentleman's name and I says, well, where were we? Oh, that's right. We were in the valley, walking through the valley. And I says, well, instead of picking it up there, why don't we go back? We'll start again. And I could see the lines on his forehead release a little more. And I started, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down and he leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. And I got it all the way through. And when I got to that place where it says, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He reached over with his right arm, and he had not moved since I'd been there. He'd reached over with his right arm and he stuck out his hand, and I assumed that he wanted me to hold his hand, so I reached out and grabbed it. And he squeezed my hand several times. And then I got to that last verse, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he took his thumb and while holding my hand, and he rubbed my hand a couple times, acknowledging that moment of being in the shadow of Christ. Within a couple days he passed, but in that moment I saw a living tree that became not anxious but at peace in the presence of God. And so I don't know what you're going through tonight, but our scripture directs us back to the shadow of the cross, to Christ, to trust in the Lord and do not be anxious, to find our strength in him who, on the night in which he was betrayed, gave himself up for us. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave thanks, and says, I offer you shade, if you will. My body broken for you. Take and eat and be restored. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks again and said, this is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this and drink this in remembrance of me. And I can't help but think that this cup then becomes that nourishing river as we become those trees planted next to it. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon us gathered here and on these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ that calls us back to the shade of the cross, that nourishes us, that gives us strength and peace and hope and comfort. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All who are weary are welcome to the table. You do not have to be a member of this church or any church to come and receive the free gift of grace that God offers through communion. We have a basket at the front of the table if you would like to offer a gift to God. That'll be counted or added to our Sunday offering. The table has been set. All are welcome. Come as you are, as you're ready, to receive this gift of grace.
Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still, O rest the soul of mine. bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful. Consider all that He has done. Stand in awe and be amazed, and know that He will never change. Be still. Be still. And know that He is God. Be still. And know that He is God. Be still. And know that He is God. Be still. Be speechless. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know He is our Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love. Beating for His little one, calling each of us to come. Be still. Be sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain.
Take it to
any given weekend, there were 60 of us in the bus, driving from site to site, checking out different places. I wonder, if I asked you a question, how you'd respond. Out of the 60 people, guess how many were responsible for reminding us to drink water? Every one of us. Every one of us. We were drilled every morning that you're partnered with somebody for the day, and it's your responsibility for each other to make sure you drink water. Because in a climate like that, in a desert climate, you don't realize how quick dehydration can come upon you. One of the first signs is that you stop sweating, and you don't even realize it because of the wind and the dry wind and everything and the heat. And sometimes if you get that beyond that point of not even realizing you're dehydrated, it can be too late. One of our students had found that out the hard way and ended up spending the afternoon in the hospital getting IVs. You know, sometimes when we veer away from the shade of the cross, it can have that same experience. Before we know it, we become dehydrated, unaware of our surroundings, anxious, relying on our own understanding. But it's moments like this that call us back to the cross to be replenished, rehydrated, refreshed, renewed. May you go from this place refreshed, renewed, in the hope of Christ. Amen.